When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. Oh, man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. Many a man would face his gun, and many a man would fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all. The love of a girl can make a man stay on when he should go. Stay on. Just trying to build a peaceful life where love is free to grow. But the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When the final showdown came at last, a law book was no good. Alone and afraid, she prayed that he'd return that fateful night. Oh, that night. When nothing she said could keep her man from going out to fight. From the moment a girl gets a people roam, the very first thing she learns, when two men go out to face each other, only one returns. Everyone heard two shots ring out, one shot made Liberty fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all.
From 1962, Gene Pitney with The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. And before that, Mary Wells with You Beat Me to the Punch. Now for all you cat lovers out there, here's Bent Fabric and his piano with Alley Cat.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5435. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Oh, my. Yes, it's a live show. It's been a long, 4 or 5 weeks? Welcome to Foxed Up, everybody. It's John Fox here coming to you, not from Sydney anymore. Coming to you from the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful area known as the Central Coast of New South Wales. And I can't even tell you how just amazingly wonderful it is to no longer be in Sydney. I'm of the opinion that my sanity was really beginning to be pushed by the congestion, the pollution, the traffic, the crappy place we were living. Just absolutely, I'm kind of just feeling a new sense of peace being here. We're not but a 5 minute, 7 minute bike ride from the beach. We live now in a little place called Woi Woi. And it's Aboriginal for deep water, and it's kind of like part of like a little peninsula, and it's just gorgeous here. Instead of a rush of traffic, Gail and I wake up to the sounds of just birds. The kookaburras go batshit first thing in the morning, and I'm going. Gene in the chat room. Crank up. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah, you know, I tell you, it's... I didn't realize, I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't really realize how much the constant noise was really affecting my health. I mean, you know this on a theoretical level, but you just don't, you don't get to understand it until you move away. And, you know, we've gotten to know our neighbors, neighbors on all three sides, and, some really, really nice people, and it's really funny. They're saying, you know, have you gotten used to the freight trains in the middle of the night? And I said, hell, that's music to my ears. Because where we were living, the same train line was just about the same distance away from the house. And I'd never hear the train. There was so much background noise. And here, you know, the fact that it hasn't woken me up once. Because it's just peaceful. The air is clean. The people are nice. And, you know, as Cobb says, the silence can be deafening. Yeah, and I'm reminded of actually how loud my studio PC computer is. Because there isn't this constant kind of rumble and white noise rocking the hell out of our house. The chickens are loving it. We got a big yard. We got a lot of work to do on it. Just because the last couple of tenants have just kind of not really done anything with it. The grass is all pretty well chewed up, and but it's a great blank slate. Can't wait to start building the new veggie garden. And you know, Freckles is asking in the chat room, are they nice to Americans too? Yeah, they are. In fact, you're gonna love this. Living next door to me is a libertarian from Boston who's been living in this country pretty much full-time for most of the last couple of decades. They've spent some time back in the States, a couple years here, there, blah, blah, blah. But it was hysterical. When we first moved in, you know, I had no idea. We got to know his wife. And he was actually in the States when we moved in. And when he landed, he pops over and he's gone, "Eh, a Yankee fan, I bet. I won't hold it against you." And so we've already been next door for drinks, and you know, it's amazing. And here's the kicker, right? Here's the kicker. Where we were living previously was a half a house that, to be honest, was an over-glorified trailer as far as its size. And we are paying virtually the same money, a couple bucks more a week. And we now have this freestanding three-bedroom house. Feels like a mansion. Gail and I have been getting lost in the place, you know, as you're unpacking things. And, you know, there's like all these rooms to go looking for things in. And all I just would sit there, I wouldn't get frustrated. Gene, yeah, no, he knows I'm very left. In fact, he voted for George W. Bush the second time around. He doesn't have he hasn't voted many times in his life. He just thought John Kerry was a jerk, but we haven't gotten into any of that stuff. But he's a very, very nice guy. He's been very helpful with me. We have a bore water pump, and it hasn't been used in 6 years, and so, you know, I was trying to get it primed, and he came over and showed me, you know, how you'd go about priming it, but I think the thing's, it's been so long since it's been used, that I need to get a guy in. I need a bore pump guy. But, that's okay. That's okay. It's all good. And, you know, this, where we're living, go to Google Earth and type in Woy, W-O-Y, second word, W-O-Y, New South Wales. And you'll be able to see where we live. And it's a small area. There's 26,000 people in this area. You know, gone from, I think, 2.5 million to 26,000. It's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. And it's all really human scale. This is the thing that Gail and I, and, you know, I've talked about this on the program before, about how, you know, our cities and and suburbs have are not human-scaled places. You know, the highest thing you'll see anywhere around here is like two stories tall, except for this one hotel thing down in a place called Edelong Beach, where I reckon, you know, it's like six stories high, and it sticks out just like this massive turd on this beautiful, beautiful place. Just surrounded by beach, there's a... If I go down the main road at the end of my street and follow it to the end, I run into a place called Ocean Beach. Now, unlike Bondi or Coogee or something like that in the greater Sydney area, which will just be packed with a mass of people, you can go down to Ocean Beach at almost any time, and if you see a dozen people, that would be a lot. And, you know, it is the most drastic and wonderful change. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, but this place is so human scale. And, you know, we get up in the morning and you know, go outside, and like I said, the kookaburras are just going nuts. You know, they're those birds that a lot of people mistake their sound for monkeys, because they make this kind of laughing, cackling sound. It's awesome. I'm going to record it one morning to play on the show so you can actually hear, because they're really loud. And they drowned out the chickens, pretty much. And that's been the most hysterical thing. You know, I was a little bit worried about bringing the chickens up. You know, thought maybe, you know, the singing after they lay their eggs in the morning might annoy some people. But no, it has been the most amazing icebreaker with all of the neighbors, because they all just think it's the neatest thing. Yeah, fresh crabs. Actually, it's a real fishing area around here. We're going to start checking out the, you know, you can buy local fish here, you know, direct from the trawlers, basically. We haven't done any of that yet, but we will soon. And another thing, you know, the other thing that I find really interesting is, you know, we were a little concerned, you know, thinking, oh, you know, price of food will probably be higher and things like that, you know, smaller market, blah, 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 blah. Not even. I think the rents and real estate in Sydney are so unbelievably overpriced and disgusting that it just increases the cost of absolutely everything. One of the first surprises I found was the organic milk that Gail and I have been buying for the last couple of years is 10% cheaper here than down in Sydney. So far, virtually everything we buy, you know, because Gail and I don't buy a lot of processed, we don't buy any processed food or any of that. We buy whole food. And so far, everything's been along the same line, if not cheaper. So all that crap where people say, oh, you know, but it's going to be more expensive up there. Bull dinky. So far, it's proving to be, you know, cheaper. Never would have thought it. Never would have thought it. I mean, at the moment, we don't have any veggie garden going because we've got to build a new one. It's really kind of a bummer that our tomatoes, which were really, really late in coming, all started to ripen like the week that we were having to leave, and I had to tear the garden apart. But hey, there you go. I hope Juggernaut and Brookie are raiding it, because they're still down there next door to our old place. But they're going to be following us up here in the next couple of months, which will be really wonderful. Just because they're great friends, we've become very, very close. And they're from here originally, and they've been dying to get back. And when we ended up being kind of forced to move, that's a whole story. I'll probably tell you a little bit of it. It's tomatoes here, Cassie. I got to speak like a local, or else I'll just catch too much crap. And you're asking if we're giving away eggs. I'm actually going to start doing that this week. The Chooks got a little out of cycle when we moved, but they settled down. They're pumping out an egg a day each. And I think we're gonna look at getting a third Chook because we have the space now, for them. And, so we have Ginger and Marianne. So Mrs. Howell / Lovey is next. not gonna lose Juggernaut. Whose real name is Tell. Tell and I become just really, really good mates. And, you know, they were considering moving back up here before our whole situation forced us to move. And they actually held off for 6 months because they didn't want to leave us alone, which just kind of proved what wonderful people that they are. And so, you know, and it's good. It's good. I think you guys are going to have to get used to a new, happier, kind of less frayed at the ends, John Fox. I'm coming to understand what living next to that frickin' road was doing to our sanity. What it was doing to our nerves. It was just amazing. And just fantastic. Fantastic. And we're gonna get into some stuff today. I've had this story and this situation bookmarked. Gene sent it to me originally, and then Gail found it as well. It's making the rounds of Stumble. Had this since the last show that I did before taking the break to move. And this is one, it just proves to me that Monsanto is the corporate Satan, you know, if I actually believed in any of that kind of crap. That there is a hell or there is a devil. The corporate Satan, for sure, is Monsanto. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. And later on in the program, when we get to the music portion of the program, I got a whole bunch of music lined up all about moving. Gail and I had started compiling this kind of playlist in our head, in our minds, which, you know, we never got around to, like, say, burning and playing in the truck as we were making trips back and forth, moving all of the contents of the house and the yard. And there's just some really great songs that apply, some of them funny, some of them serious, some of them, and just all pleasant and enjoyable. What I'm going to do here, and there's also another new regime. See, in this, in the old place, I used to smoke cigarettes while I did the show. You know, we smoked in the house. Well, because we're getting away from all that pollution, Gail and I are taking on the kind of thing that most people in California do, which I did when I lived there, is people who smoked didn't smoke in their houses. You went outside. We're doing that now. So John won't be chain smoking like he used to. During the show, I will have to sneak out from time to time. Maybe down the road in a couple months, we'll both get around to quitting. And I think it'll be easier because we won't be just sucking down all this particulate. I reckon we're both smoking a whole lot less, and it's probably also due to the fact that we are not as stressed as we were. Because, I mean, it's all just a mental addiction anyway. It's not all, but, I mean, the reaching for it is more psychological than chemical. But the nicotine monster is a real beast. And, it's been proven in studies that nicotine is a harder addiction to break than heroin. In fact, many rehab clinics will encourage heroin addicts to continue smoking cigarettes while they're getting off smack because the two together would just be too hard. So anyway, enough about that nonsense, but yeah, And, you know, I'll be able to actually hear what I mix now, you know. When it comes to doing music, and that parody we've been talking about for weeks is about to get finished. The studio's all set up. That's the other thing about this. Where I was doing the show from previously was a sunroom about 4.5 feet by maybe 10 foot. And in there I had the main computer, two monitors, the laptop, and a second monitor, my big mixing console, my small mixing console, my rack, my speakers, my keyboards. And now I've got, like, all this dance floor space, and I can get to things without having to worry about knocking other crap over. And I know I'm kind of just going on and on about where the change in life, but it's just too massive. And it's just really good. The cats seem to be more relaxed. They were a bit skittish for a couple of days, as you expect. But, you know, they're not, you know, play fighting with each other the way that they used to. In fact, they used to spend a lot more time outside during the day. Now they're just kind of inside, flopped out on the floor. And, you know, it's all good. And the thing that I find interesting, too, is, you know, 5 p.m., man, machine was all over me going, all right, food time, food time, food time, and be, like, completely stressed out about it, you know, following you around, getting under your feet, you know, just being a complete pest. We were here about 3 days, and all of a sudden I'm looking, it's like 6:30, he hasn't come bitching. So I think that, you know, this has just been good for the whole family. And it's just, it's a really, really groovy thing. Now, a little bit of operations today are going to be a little bit tricky. Got one little bit of a computer networking thing where the thing that I usually play all my audio from can't see the music drive. So I have to do a little bit of juggling when it goes to playing music and then going to commercials or PSAs. And whatnot. So, you know, if it's a little dodgy, the transitions aren't that smooth, please bear with me. I'll have that sorted out by next week. But I tell you, we're going to go and take a little break here for the bottom of the hour. I'm going to get into this Monsanto story when we get back, and then after that we'll open up the phone lines because I really want to hear from you all about this. And if you haven't heard what I'm about to get into, when I do, hold on to your hats. If you drink, pour a double. This is going to blow your mind. Monsanto's wet dream. And if you want to check out links for what we're going to cover today, chalkstep.headonradionetwork.com. Over at the website, the links are all there. Gene's posted a video about the subject that we're going to kind of focus on today. And I'll probably play the audio from that because it's the inflection in this reporter in this reporter's voice, I think, says it all, really. This is disturbing stuff. And if this were to go through, the Obamas would be breaking the law. You ready for that? So, but I figure Gail and I just, this is one of the songs that kept running through our heads as we were getting ready to move. And I guess I'll just do the first break with this. Presidents of the United States. Peaches. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
To the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man. If I had my little way, country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Move into the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Move into the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. Move into the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. I took a little nap with a little salt dress, squished your rotten and peach in my fist, and dreamed about you, a woman.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Sometimes are we in hell or inches away from the front end of powers that be? So in seconds, what is taking some hours to see? Tips is hot enough to melt a bullion. More than a million people are ready for rebellion. This shit is ill. Sunset till the crack of dawn.
If you're back a blonde, Uncle Sam is robbing you blind and putting shackles on the minds of the children. For real, son, beware this system and go to war with this institution.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. A bit of Ozzo Motley and Coming War. And I see a new coming war. And it has more to do with freedom to grow your own damn food. God. Hold on to your hats, kids. This is mad. Now, you probably have seen that this week. There was a piece at the Huffington Post and other places about the fact that the Obamas are putting in a big old victory garden. I think that this is just brilliant. I love it. And produce grown on the White House property. I mean, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And they're going to use this to supply the White House. And I think that this is genius. This is what, you know, for the various things where, you know, I got problems with what Barack's up to. It's some of these things when it comes to the way his family is presenting itself that I think is going to be very, very good for the nation. I hope he gets some of the rest of the stuff straightened. And look, I'm giving him a lot of latitude because there's never been a president in the history of this nation who has had more on his plate at the beginning in a worse situation ever. You know, it's just never been this bad. And but it's these things that I think are going to be really, really good. You know, be that change you want to see in the world. And I you know, and this just is right up my alley. And over at Huffington Post, you can find it. It's from earlier in the week. President-elect Barack Obama has a lot on his agenda, and January his plate will be even fuller. But perhaps come spring, the president can fill the actual White House china with sustainable homegrown fare. After he saves the economy, begins timely withdrawals from Iraq, and negotiates the unruly world leaders, Mr. Obama ought to get his hands dirty by planting a White House vegetable garden. If the Obama family begins its occupancy of the White House by sowing seeds in late winter and early spring, they will watch a first garden grow in the backyard of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and Americans will watch with them. First families set the standard for the behavior of American households and family. With all of its comparisons to Camelot, it's arguably more idolized and socially influential than any since the Kennedys. Yet for all the sweeping changes Obama hopes to introduce, none would be more subtle or significant than influencing Americans' relationship with... Amen. Amen to that. Alice Waters, pioneer of sustainable eating, wrote to the Clintons several times during their tenure in office. She begged for the first family to plant and maintain a garden to show the American populace the value of the food cycle in developing a sense of community and healthy natural future, both in body and culture. In a letter from 1995, Waters implored the Clintons to help with her edible schoolyard project. Help us nourish our children by bringing them back to the table, where we can pass on our most humane values. Help us create a demand for sustainable agriculture, for it is at the core of sustaining everyone's life. And goes on saying, unfortunately, the Clintons never bought onto this. Now, let me see if I can find what the size of this thing is going to be. I think it's in this article. Actually, it's not. But I hear it's going to be massive. Absolutely massive. And I think that this is just absolutely brilliant. Now, here's where we get to the part of the insanity. There is a couple of bills being put up. Now, they're saying by the administration, but... House Resolution 875, or the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2009, was introduced by Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat from Connecticut, in February. DeLauro's husband, Stanley Greenberg, conducts research for Monsanto, the world's leading producer of herbicides and genetically engineered seed. This article here is at worldnetdaily.com. There's a link for it at the show post today over at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. DeLauro's Act has 39 co-sponsors and was referred to the House Agriculture Committee on February 4th. It calls for a creation of a food safety administration to allow the government to regulate food production at all levels, and even mandates property seizure, fines of up to $1 million per offense, and criminal prosecution for producers, manufacturers, and distributors who fail to comply with its regulations. Okay, that all sounds kind of good. Hi, Ralphs, in the chat room. And if you're not in the chat room, you got to go to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat link. There's really quick registration you're in. Join the potty. Anyway, moving on. Michael Olson, host of the Food Chain radio show and author of Metro Farm, told WorldNet Daily the government should focus on regulating food production in countries such as China and Mexico rather than burdening small and organic farmers in the U.S. without overreaching regulations. Now, basically what this bill would do would make growing organic food in your backyard illegal. You can lose your home and be fined $500,000. You ready? You catching this? Are you catching this? So, Gales and my, you know, basically, unless you're buying genetically modified seed that needs chemicals, hormones, and all this bullshit from Monsanto and big agribusiness, and you use heirloom seeds, you can be in violation of the law. Absolutely nuts. Later on, further down the article, it says the legislation would establish the Food Safety Administration within the Department of Health and Human Services to protect the public health by preventing foodborne illnesses, ensuring the safety of food, improving research on contaminants leading to foodborne illnesses, and improving security of food from international contamination and for other purposes. Federal regulators will be tasked with ensuring that food producers, processors, and distributors, both large and small, prevent and minimize food safety hazards such as foodborne illnesses and contaminants such as bacteria, chemicals, natural toxins, and manufactured toxins, viruses, parasites, prions, physical hazards, and other human pathogens. Under the legislation's broad wording, slaughterhouses, seafood processing plants, establishments that process, store, hold, or transport all categories of food products prior to delivery for retail sale, farms, ranches, orchards, vineyards, aquaculture facilities, and confined animal feeding operations would be subject to strict government regulation. Government inspectors would be required to visit and examine food production facilities, including small farms, to ensure compliance. They would review food safety records and conduct surveillance of animals, plants, products, or the environment. What the government will do is bring in industry experts to tell them how to manage all this stuff, Olson said. It's industry that's telling government how to set these things up. What it always boils down to is who can afford to have the most influence over the government. It would be those companies that have sufficient economies of scale to be able to afford the influence, which is, of course, industrial agriculture. Farms and food producers would be forced to submit copies of all records to federal inspectors upon request to determine whether food is contaminated, to ensure that they are in compliance with food safety laws, and to maintain government tracking records. Refusal to register, permit inspector access, or testing of food or equipment would be prohibited. What is going to happen is that local agriculture will end up suffering through some onerous protocols designed for international agriculture as they simply don't need, Olson said. This will be a way for industrial agriculture to manage local agriculture. Under the Act, every food producer must have a written food safety plan describing likely hazards and preventative controls that have implemented and must abide by minimum standards related to fertilizer use, nutrients, hygiene, packaging, temperature controls, animal encroachment, and water. That opens a whole can of worms, says Olson. I think that's where people are starting to freak out about losing organic agriculture. Who's going to decide what the minimum standards are for fertilization or anything else? The government is going to bring in big industry to say that we are setting up these protocols. So what do you think we should do? Who is it going to bring in to ask? The government will bring in people who have economies of scale, who have that kind of influence. DeLauro's Act calls for the Food Safety Administration to create a national traceability system to retrieve history, use, and location of each food product through all stages of production, processing, and distribution. Olson believes regulations could create unjustifiable financial hardships for small farmers and run them out of business. That is often the purpose of rules and regulations, to get rid of your competition, he said. The only people who are very, very large can afford to comply. They can hire one person to do paperwork. There's a specialization of labor there. And when you are very small, you can't afford to do all of these things. Olson said despite good intentions behind the legislation, this act could devastate small U.S. farms. Okay, this is really, 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 really scary stuff. Because, I mean, you got to think about where this is coming from. Monsanto wants all of everything you eat to have to be their stuff. I'm going to scroll down a bit. Just a minute. I'm looking for part of it. It says, okay, the Food Safety and Tracking Improvement Act. Another food safety bill that has organic and small farmers worried is Senate Bill 425, or the Food Safety and Tracking Improvement Act, sponsored by Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat of Ohio. Brown's bill is backed by lobbyists for Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland, and Tyson. It was introduced in September and has been referred to the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. Some say the legislation could also put small farmers out of business. Like H.R. 875, the measure establishes a nationwide traceability system monitored by the Food and Drug Administration for all stages of manufacturing, processing, packaging, and distribution of food. It would cost $40 million over 3 years. We must ensure that the federal government has the ability to and authority to protect the public given the global nature of the food supply, Brown said when he introduced the bill. He suggested the FDA and the USDA have power to declare mandatory recalls. The government would track food shipped in interstate commerce through a record-keeping and audit system, a secure online database, or registered identification. Each farmer or producer would be required to maintain records regarding the purchase, sale, and identification of their products. A 13-member advisory committee of food safety and tracking technology experts, representatives of the food industry, consumer advocates, and government officials would assist in implementing the traceability system. The bill calls for the committee to establish a national database or registry operated by the Food and Drug Administration. It also proposes an electronic records database to identify sales of food and its ingredients, establishing that the food and its ingredients were grown, prepared, handled, manufactured, processed, distributed, shipped, warehoused, imported, and conveyed under conditions that ensure the safety of food. It states, the electronic statement of the date of and the names and addresses of all parties to each prior sale, purchase, or trade, and any other information as appropriate. If government inspectors find that a food item is not in compliance, they may force producers to cease distribution, recall the item, or confiscate it. If the Postal Service can track a package from my office in Washington to my office in Cincinnati, we should be able to do the same for food products, Senator Brown said September 4, 2008 in a statement. Families that are struggling with the high cost of groceries should also have to worry about the safety of their food. The legislation gives the government the resources it needs to protect the public. The blogosphere, down further, it says, the blogosphere is buzzing with comments on the legislation, including the following. Obama and his cronies or the puppet masters are trying to take total control, nationalize everything, disarm the populace, control food, etc. We are seeing the formation of a total police state. It's not very green of Obama. What's his real agenda? Now, this is the big problem here is, you know, you have a lot of local farms that supply small restaurants, and it's not the small farmer that's the problem. It's the large farmer that's the problem. It's agribusiness where these problems come in. You know, it wasn't the local peanut farmer that caused the salmonella outbreak. It was the peanut processing plant, you know, where rat shit and cockroaches can end up in things. And, you know, a certain amount of that content's just fine. One commenter says, the more I examine this on the surface, seemingly innocuous bill, the more I hate it. It's a coward's ploy to push out of business small farms and farmers' markets without actually making them illegal because many will choose not to operate due to the compliance issue. And this is the problem. This is where the problem comes. The best quality produce you can get comes from the small, local, organic farmer. The organic farmer is not the problem. And if you're an organic farmer, you know, not just the backyard variety like Gail and I do, but, you know, the person who has, you know, a decent size operation, they have to go through, just to get accredited as certified organic, they have to go through a hell of a lot. But now you're going to add all this tracking crap? Now, I haven't had enough time to go through the bill in detail yet, but it really does point to, you know, if this thing gets in, you, me, Bob, everybody who's got their little vegetable plots, their victory garden. You could be in violation of federal law. I suggest everyone start saving seeds. Seed banks would become illegal if this goes through. So all the people that have worked so hard to keep heirloom varieties of everything would be in violation of the law under this bill. That's scary shit. I mean, you know, I've railed against Monsanto in the past. But, I mean, even this surprises me. This is Monsanto's wet dream. And what pisses me off even more is the fact that our Democrats are into this or are supporting this. See, this is the problem. Corruption and money is an equal opportunity evil. And Monsanto's got a shitload of money. And all they want to do is copyright the building blocks of life. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, I see that Gene just tried to ring in. I tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take a break here in a minute for the top of the hour. When we come back, I will open up the phone lines. I didn't actually hear it ring, but we'll sort that out. Like I said, and I'll try and sort out the phones because it's actually showing that I'm not connected. But anyway, I'm streaming. That's a good thing. I'm going to reboot the phones while we take a break. And, we'll get back to the seat. This freaks the hell out of me. The idea that you won't be able to grow your own food. I mean, what are they going to tell me? I can't have my chickens? Now, I know that this is happening in the States. It's not happening here. But, you know, when times are tight, when we're in, the financial straits that we are in globally at the moment, one of the best things people can do to empower themselves is to grow some of their own food. They know where it comes from. And we know the history is there. Monsanto makes sure that the studies that show the damage of what they do are kept from the public. You know, this is all part of that self-regulating industry vibe that's been way too rampant. And it's just disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Pardon me. Let's see. Let's find something to play to go out. Having a look. Okay. We'll go out with a little bit of Days of the New Flight Response, because I think that this is what I was feeling living down in the old place. I just wanted to get the hell out. It was fight or flight. And I think I was fighting a lot with people because I just wanted to get the hell out. I didn't realize it until events made it not our choice. Because, you know, moving's a pain. Moving's a hassle. Moving is stressful. Moving is tiring. Moving's expensive. But, anyway, here we go. Bit of Days of the New, Mr. Travis Meeks. We'll have to check in and see what Travis is up to sometime soon. And Flight Response off of the second Days of the New album, the green one. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
It's hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up. It's hour two. The return of the madman from down under. Not so mad these days. Feeling a bit better, personally, having gotten the hell out of the city. Now, question came up in the chat room about the new Days of the New album, Purple. And I actually have to admit, I'm not sure where that stands at the moment. I do know last I talked to Travis months ago that... they might be getting a bit of a genius producer involved who is very interested in the material. I know Travis has been gigging a lot. He's been, and it's self-produced, self-book gigs. I think that working out on management and whatnot. And when you're self-producing a record, it costs a lot of money. It costs a hell of a lot of money. And I have to check it out. I think right now he might be gigging and really working the material because he was. I know that he was. Last I spoke to him, he was trying to hire preferably female multi-instrumentalist, someone that played violin, cello, and various other things. I can see the want for that. Sometimes having an all-male band can be limiting. You look at Talking Heads, you look at The Pretenders, various bands that, and being a bit of a rockin' kind of thing, be good. And Gene says he's having... Anyway, we're opening up the phones. Let's see if we got... Gene says he's getting a busy signal for some reason. But if you want to try and dial in, 304-574-7811. It's 304-574-7811. And we'll see if we can get things happening. I have been able to call out in the past. We'll see if I what's going on. But it does show that I'm connected and ready to go, so we'll give it a shot and see if we can get it all happening. You know, and one thing that might be going on is Bob Kincaid is working on phones with Guy James at the moment. So I don't know if possibly we're dealing with a little bit of clash of registration or something. I don't know, because we are doing some advancement in our voice over IP system to give us the ability to take multiple callers and whatnot via the software phones that we use on these systems. And so and Gene says he's ringing, but it's not ringing here. That's very, very strange. Hold that thought for a moment, people. Going to have to see if we can figure out what's going on there. Very odd, because I was taking calls, or I was actually telephoning Bob. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut down the new fancy multi-line software. I'm going to fire up the old version and see if that can get working. So just stand by a minute. Hey, you know, it's first day up. Didn't really have a chance to run all the big like with the studio in West Virginia, because Bob's working on getting Guy James set up so he can get back on air hopefully this week, because if you're like me, you've been missing Guy James, so have I. He's just, you know, what a great voice. What a great guy. Ha ha ha. Hey, Gene, if you're still there, try ringing back again. I've got the other phone software fired up. Let's see if this one allows you to call me. See what happens. So please, fire away again. And because I know Gene's been reading up on this Monsanto's wet dream legislation, and I know it's been a bit of a getting to him in a big way. So we're going to see if we can get this to work. But I think that this is really awesome that the Obamas are doing this big vegetable garden on the White House property. You know, it's following a line along those lines of be the change you want to see in this world, which is something that I try to live and breathe every day when possible. I mean, we're all hypocrites from time to time. It's just trying to work really, really hard to not be so hypocritical and and try and do the right thing and show people by just doing it, that the right thing ain't so hard. It's just not that hard. And there's so much wonderful pleasure in being able to, I've said it time and time again, having our veggie garden. Aha, we see a ringy, 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 ringy. Hold on a second. Let's see if this all works. Who we got?
There you are.
Okay, the new swear's hanging nice. Up to chat. Hey.
Okay. Now, that food thing, I got a response on that here, because we've been trying to, I'm working with the local farming, but I was that funny on the local food bank food, where the writers are very upset about it. They're going to blame about it, not necessarily the Congress, but that it's interesting. It's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. I'm not surprised Monsanto whacked something like this, because this really would just give them everything that they've ever wanted.
Oh, yeah. Well, it does. And, you know, it's really about it. Well, it was probably about a week ago. I've been doing some video on the change.gov side. You know, it's going to strengthen the FDA. Yeah. New restriction. I think that the two ladies built, boy, and it's confusing thing to sort of do.
Absolutely, because you read, you base on this, and then there's good stuff. You know,
yeah.
You know, it all down to Tayshia Fines. And and it scared the crap out of me just in that Pete could end up being fined huge amounts of money for, you know, growing their food. And
well, I know what you mean. I mean, there was a call if you were something to be fined on.
That's the same. It's not the small organic armor putting it. It's agribusiness.
No, it's not. It's big. It's the big. God, how do I put this? It's the big. So it's.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the ones ruining the poop. Gene, I'll tell you what, I'm watching the fuck's really strip off. What I'm going to kill all with you. I'm going to put Zig on. I'm going to see if some phone laptops I think might be processing a bit. Let me see if I can get worked out a little. It's weak, you know, and it's a new connection.
That's okay, though. I'm back in time. Pretty much really wanted to.
All right.
So.
Always good to see you so much for thing you do for the program. And we will speak with you as soon as your phone's out.
See you around.
All right. Okay, let's see if, yeah, turn the phones off and the streamer all comes back and happy. Huh, okay, well, interesting. But like, you know, see, this is one of the things that I love about Gene. Gene pays a lot of attention, you know, aside from, you know, reading most of the internet every day. He's really active locally. And so he's, you know, he's got his fingers in what goes on. And, you know, to hear from him that in his local community there in Oregon that there people are kind of freaking out about this, you know, geez. You know, what? Where are we going when people who farm the way nature intended could be put out of business or shut down for noncompliance? And then it's those that screw with nature, try and produce food in ways that nature never intended. You know, it's this opposite world thing that goes down that I just cannot understand. Now, So the buffering that you guys were hearing before actually was the phones and the streamer kind of clashing. So what I'm going to do here in a moment, so I'm going to put some music on, and I'm going to see if I can just quickly repatch to run the phones off of the laptop. I thought actually my buffering problems had to do more with the playback system that we use, but it appears that maybe it's two things, and that, well, but you know, these are the things that we have to work on. So what we're going to do here, excuse me as I walk around, and that, whoops, I have to get used to this whole new system that I got going here, because it's way different, and things are spread out a little bit more. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit of music. This is another one from Gail's in my moving list. Going up country. So hang tight, folks. I'm going to see if I can work this phone thing out here. Give us a couple minutes, and we'll be back. Enjoy the music.
Going up this country, baby, don't you want to go? I'm going up the country. Baby, don't you want to go? I'm going to some place where I've never been before. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. We can jump in the water, stay drunk all the time. To get away.
cross all out. Been tired and cross all out. I've been to that south where the winds are warm. Traveling that road, I've no return. So
all right, let's see.
The mailman comes in, even he's got
We've moved the phones over to the other computer. We'll see how we go here. Now Ben's just sent me a link that debunks everything I've been railing about in the past hour. And we're going to have to go here. And, you know, Ben's good at finding this stuff. There's one of the facts claimed here that I don't think is accurate. That no agribusiness is behind this, but just looking at who's putting this stuff up, I'm sorry, Monsanto does have their hands in this. It hasn't been put in front of any communities, in front of any committees yet. But, you know, I'm still very, very wary. Anytime things like massive regulation of how you can grow food. And Monsanto's got a history of trying to destroy people that don't use their seed or have their plantations contaminated by their genetically modified seed. I mean, we do know about the strong arm tactics of Monsanto. There is no doubt. You know, you have some organic or non-genetically modified corn, and the guy next door to you has Monsanto corn, Roundup Ready corn, and, you know, some of it blows over and contaminates your field. You are then held to paying Monsanto damages and then have to buy their seed. I mean, Monsanto is a bunch of evil fuckers. Sorry. Even if some of the outrage over this bill might be misguided, people are rightful to be worried. Anytime that Monsanto's involved, I mean, these people want to make sure that everything that you eat is something that they own. And there's way too much fact behind that. Now, I tell you, I would like, if possible, Gene, do you mind ringing me back and see if this new phone thing will work? And then you and I'll run through these debunkings with you if you like. But please give me a ring back. Let's see if this is going to work. And because it's first show back, we're going to futz around a bit, get things happening, get things all happy. And there we go. That would probably be him. Hey, Gene.
Hey.
Let's see. That's looking a lot better.
Okay, that's good. as far as when I sent you that thing about the I don't generally go to World Nut Daily.
It's not the only place that this has been talked about, though.
No, it's not. It's all over. But I'm not sure. You know, I'm. It's really, I'd have to, that's why I embedded in the show post, I embedded the GovTrack link to the HR 78, HR 5, HR 578. So it's there if you want, or 875, sorry.
Yeah, it's 875 and S-425. There's two different bills up, and I need to read them myself. So I could be overreacting as well, but, you know, I think there's enough history behind Monsanto and their tactics that I wouldn't put it past them to try and shut down farming that doesn't utilize their seed.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put it past them either. I mean, goodness, our good friends at Celsius that talked about the Canadian farmer that got his land confiscated because of the Monsanto pollen and such, if I remember the story correctly. Right?
That, yeah, well, I mean, there's been hundreds of farms in the United States that have been confiscated or run out of business. You know, there was that really wonderful piece. I'm trying to remember where it was that I spent like 4 days on a few months ago. And, you know, where this one farmer had really, really accurate records showing that, you know, they've been saving seed for generations, and Monsanto was basically trespassing on his property and was able to shut him down effectively by saying that he committed copyright infringement by nature doing what it does and blowing stuff around. Now, Ben sent me a post from the Daily Green. And, and it says here, it says, myth or fact, a bill in Congress will mean the end of organic farming, debunking six viral myths about H.R. 875. And, you know, he lists a whole bunch of reactions that he's seen on the web. And then he goes through some of this stuff. It says, myth, H.R. 875 makes it illegal to grow your own garden and would result in criminalization of the backyard gardener. Fact, there's no language in the bill that will regulate, penalize, or shut down the backyard gardens. This bill is focused on ensuring the safety of food sold in supermarkets. Second myth would mean goodbye to farmers' markets because the bill would require such burdensome complexity of rules, inspections, licensing fees, and penalties for each farmer who wishes to sell locally a fruit stand at a farmer's market. Say here, the fact is there's no such language in the bill that results in farmers' markets being regulated, penalized with any fines, or shut down. Farmers' markets would be able to continue to flourish under the bill. In fact, the bill would insist that imported foods meet strict safety standards to ensure that unsafe imported foods are not competing with locally grown foods. Now, if that's the case, you could start getting me to support this.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I hadn't heard about the backyard garden thing until tonight, and I thought, well, shoot, man, I wish I hadn't included that World Net Daily link in there, because that's asking for trouble.
Well, there was another link that was not World Net Daily. I believe it was actually Common Dreams that I was not able to locate before the show today. So I will find that one, and we'll see what we find from there. But you know, I hope that this ends up being targeted at big agribusiness, imported foods, you know, to deal with the melamine and whatnot that, like, came out of China, you know, to deal with the salmonella outbreak in all that peanut product that they sold anyway. That's the stuff that needs to be seriously regulated, or else, you know, just it's not good for humanity.
Well, I'll go back and look at the bill again, but I because I've got the GovTrack, and I'll see what the language is, make sure. But man, you get an awful lot of, and it's like I tried to explain before. It's very complex because I think I put up the link in the chat room that has the video of Obama talking about food safety, and. So this is an issue that's we're being talked at from all sides, and believe me, I try to be pretty straight on the stories I send you guys, but heck, sometimes I even make a mistake from time to time.
Hey man, so, thank you, Ben Birch. I mean, you know, he pulled through and came up with with a debunking post here, and you know, I'll also get back into my game here. You know, it's the first show in a few weeks to actually go and get a better read of what's going on. But I mean, this has really created a lot of fervor on the net, and you know, anytime someone who you know proposes a bill and their family you know works for Monsanto, I'm sorry, you're rightful to be very wary.
Yeah, that's true. Well, right now, and you're right. I've seen a lot on the net about the food bit, but right, the thing I've been following for the last week is the water thing, which I think I've sent you stuff on that too. But that's another subject.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I'll get back and I'll go over to GovTrack and I'll read the language on the bill and make sure that this isn't just some smoke-blowing garbage. Because, I mean, like I said, there's food safety things zipping all over the place. I mean, I just saw something the other day where China's introducing some new stringent food safety stuff for the stuff they export. So,
yeah.
No.
We'll see where that goes. Someone was just trying to ring in over your call. Please hang on until I get done with Gene, just because
okay.
I can only take one call at a time, folks. And otherwise, he just sits there and beeps over the other caller. We're working on making multiple calls at a time possible. So thanks, Gene. We'll follow
okay.
up on this and work on correcting where both you and myself and some of the rest of the net has been inaccurate with this. I am going to read the bill between now and next week, and we'll get our head around this. And like ELO said, you know, you got to worry, and maybe there's dovetailing of bills going on here. So, you know,
Yeah. This
is why we got to keep an eye on things to make sure that we don't get backdoored into more disaster. But thanks for everything, man, and thanks for ringing back.
Later, dude. Take it easy.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think Monique wanted to ring in, so ring away there, Monique. And we'll get you on. I'm glad that this is getting people to ring in. It's always good to hear from people. And the chat room's filling up. It's always nice to see. And, you know, and I can see David Tremaine's wanting to ring in. Just hang on, mate. It's been a long time, and I think you and I need to talk about Nine Inch Nails. All right, here we go. Welcome to Foxed Up. Who we got?
You have Monique.
Hi, Monique. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really good. Moving has been amazingly good for my psyche.
Oh, I'm so glad you're back on this week.
Good. What, good to hear you. Thank you. What do you got?
I want to let you know about my last weekend in hell.
Uh-oh. What's this?
Last week in hell. This has to do with the credit union that I belong to and, the problems that I had there.
Okay.
Is that okay to talk about
it? Yeah, sure. It's always an open forum here.
Oh, okay. Well, am I in the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. So, you know, over a week ago I went to my credit union because I tried to pay a bill with my debit card. And I couldn't because I could not see the number on the back of the card. So I go to the credit union, and I said, I can't find the number. It's erased because the ink wore off of it. And he said, well, give me the card. And I gave him my card, and he said, well, if you tip it up to the light correctly, you can read the card.
What?
I can read the number. Yeah, that's what he told me. I can read the number. So you can read the number. And he said, just look it. Can you not see it? I said, no. You know, I'm 67 years old, and he's like a 35-year-old guy. And I said, no, I can't see it. And he said, no, you can see it. Just look. Tip it over this way to the light. And I said, I can't see it. So we went for about 5 minutes through that thing. And he said, okay, let me scratch the number. Well, the number didn't scratch. And I laughing to myself about that, and he said, well, I'm going to write the number down for you.
What?
And then you can put it in your wallet, and you can keep it.
Oh, that's secure.
Oh, yeah, and so I wrapped it around my debit card, and then I couldn't find my debit card 2 days later.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, then, that's not the best thing that happened. Then last, to buy groceries. Friday night, I was fine. With my debit card. Friday, I go and buy groceries on my debit card, and it said my account was invalid. I said, you've got to be kidding. And they said, no, it's invalid. We tried it 3 times. It was invalid. So, hey, God, I didn't want to use my credit card, but I had to. So I come home, and I go on the Internet, and I go into my account. Well, I'm disabled. And I say, okay, there's a number you can call. I'll call that. I tried all day Saturday calling them. I spent over an hour at one time sitting on there waiting to get in contact with him. No way. Okay. So I'm spitting mad. So I figure, well, Sunday I'm not going to be able to use it. It's been not good all day Saturday. So I got to the credit union on Monday, and I said, I can't get into my account. Oh, it's been down all weekend.
Their system was down.
Yeah. So this is making me more angry. So they got me back on. But here's the kicker. When I wanted to get back on, they asked me how much money I had in my account. And I said, how am I supposed to know?
I haven't been able to check my balance.
I can't get into my account. I can't get into there. Then they asked me, what was the last time you went into your account? Jesus, I don't know. I'm 67 years old. I don't know. They asked me all these stupid questions, like my mind froze.
They finally said.
That
sounds just really bizarre that they're asking you what your balance is. That is doing my head in. And the fact that, you know, all this electronic banking is actually, at least it used to be, was all kind of handled under the Federal Communications Commission because it's all data communication.
Well, thanks to Sarge, he called the schools and he said he was from the media and he wanted to talk to someone in the media. So we got the vice president to call Sarge and I talked to the vice president. And he said, I just don't believe all this happened to you and I don't like it. And I said, you know what? I have some suggestions for you. Next time your site goes down or something happens to your hardware, you know, you have a home page. Why don't you put it in the home page? My second suggestion to you is, how about doing some real training and customer service?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we do that all the time. And I said, well, I don't think so because, you know what? They could have called me stupid to my face, but I was so, so angry at them. I'm still angry at them. So yesterday I go to my son's, and my daughter-in-law and I were walking the baby, and I told her about that, and she said, oh, my sister had the same problem. She couldn't get into her account all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So that you couldn't get into the account via an ATM or a point of purchase transaction or via the net.
Nothing.
See,
I could not. You know, luckily I had some money left over in my credit card and I had some food in my house, but there was no access to money. In fact, one of the bills that I pay bounced.
Well, I'd hope that any fees that you'd have to incur or interest on your credit card would be wiped clean because you had funds that you couldn't get to.
I'm just so upset. I actually am changing over to another bank, and I'm just done with them. This is horrible what they have done. They left many people. And, you know, I went to the teller that Monday morning because I had a check to cash because where I worked, they also screwed up my check. So I put it in my account, and I said, you know what? I'm really messed up because the credit union was down for me. She said, it was down for me, too, and I'm spitting mad because I had to pay, I wanted to pay for everything, and I had to put it on my credit card. She was upset too.
Right.
You know, and I said to the vice president, you know what? I didn't know if you were down because you were closing down or someone got into my account. I had no clue. And then you come and ask me how much money I had in my account.
That's just bizarre.
I had no clue. Oh, that whole weekend was bizarre.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised to hear this about a credit union, because usually credit unions, you know, ride on the idea that they're local, they're small, they're, you know, not for, you know, they're they're less of a profit motive, you know, at least the credit unions that I've ever dealt with. And usually the service is more personal than a standard, you know, larger bank. And so I, you know, if I were, you know, obviously you are, you know, I'd be hugely disappointed that, you know, you decide to go with the smaller institution. And, you know,
I've been with a credit union since 1988. And they do this. I was like, oh my God, I just can't even go there.
And to change banks is a nightmare. I mean, especially in this modern area where you have all these automated payments and all and electronic stuff that's all programmed, and you know you have to go notifying all these institutions from your rent or your mortgage payment to the power company, to the phone company, to the you know water service and everything else. To you know, because God forbid you miss one of those and then the payment gets bounced back, you're going to get whacked for massive fees. You know, go ahead.
I'm changing. I'm going to the Chase Bank because everybody I know likes Chase. But I'm doing it slowly. I'm not going to do what I'm closing today. I'm just going to do a little bit at a time and eventually turn over everything to Chase. But I'm not going to do, well, goodbye, Desert Schools. I'm doing it slowly.
Well, yeah, you know, it sounds like you're probably going to move your regular transaction accounts over first, and then anything larger.
And this is something else that just aggravated me about the credit union. I have a grandson, my first grandson, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to buy him toys or clothes because he outgrows them too fast. And so the best bet for me would be to open up an account so that when he's 18 or 21, there'll be money in the account for him. Yeah. Credit union wouldn't let me do that.
Well,
they said, oh, you have to get both parents in. They have to have papers that he is their son. You have to have the social security numbers. I went to Chase, and they said, no problem.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, that used to be a really common thing, the in-trust accounts. I remember I had one that I didn't know about that I had an uncle or something open up for me that, you know, he stuck like $50 in it, and then it was forgotten about. And I found out about the thing when I was like, you know, 17 or 18, and it was kind of interesting. It had been accruing all this interest, right, before deregulating the banks really became a big deal, in the 80s. And it was accruing all this interest, and my $50 had turned into like a couple of hundred over, you know, this time. But then, if I had actually found out about it 2 years before, I could have gotten a couple hundred bucks. No, when they changed everything, then the monthly fee started coming out, and there was, and by the time I actually wanted to do something with it, there was no money left.
Mm.
And we're talking 20 years ago.
So, okay, so I'm not following you here on that one, but you don't think it's a good idea?
What?
To open up an account?
Oh, I think it is, as long as it's a thing. Read the fine print, make sure that, you know, because they actually made some big noise in Australia about this, that the banks could not go, you know, on kids' accounts and things, could not charge the fees that they're doing, and so, you know, if you're under 16 or whatever and there's an account in your name, there are no monthly account keeping fees. You must pay interest, you know. So I would say, you know, make sure that you're getting the right product. You know, I hate that term when it comes to banks. Banks don't produce anything, and they call them products. They're services. They're not products. And, you know, just making sure that you get the right kind of thing. I mean, I'm not a financial advisor or anything, but I mean, I do know enough that, you know, you want to make sure that the little bit that you're trying to put aside for this young fella, you know, isn't eaten up by the bank, you know, because I mean, you know, this is one of the things that I think has to seriously be looked at as well, is the fees and whatnot, and the fee structures with credit cards and all that, the way that these people can kind of just sap people's money out with no justification. But I, you know, like I said, they it sounds like Chase is doing a bit better job than the place that you've been with. You know, just make sure you're getting the right, I like I said, you know, read the fine print. Did I lose you, Monique? Hello? Oh. She hung up. Or did I hang up? I didn't think so. Sorry, Monique. Huh. Very strange. It hung up. Anyway. if you want to ring back in, ring back in. Otherwise, we'll open up the next in line was David from Maine. Knowing that you, I have a feeling I know what you're ringing up about, mate. So, get on the line and, we'll have a bit of a chat. and, but yeah, I think we got to re-regulate all this stuff. You know, we got to re-regulate the banks big time. Otherwise, you know, we've had any protection that we've had has been withered away. You know, as the, you know, this is, you hear stories like this over and over and over that, you know, the banks, while they get this bailout money and, you know, they're having to reorganize the mortgages and they're, and, you know, they're getting ready to have these bad debts bought off them. They turn around, they've lost the subprime thing of being able to screw people. Now, they are just, you know, arbitrarily changing fee structures and other things with credit cards. And the credit card debt is the next great, you know, thing that's gonna just come to kill us soon. You know, I mean that, especially in tough times, people are piling up more and more credit card debt to try and just survive. You know, people who lose their jobs and still have a credit card, you know, geez, you know, while I'm looking for a job, we need groceries, ain't got no money. Let's go get some food on the credit card and hope that we can pay at some point. You know, I mean, Gail and I, when we were moving, you know, there's all that thing of, you know, trying to not put stuff on the credit card because it's just this time bomb waiting to just go off and be a real, real problem. So, you know, the bank, Overman last week saying, you know, it's time to bust the trusts. I totally agree. All this crap of too big to fail. Well, we got to make them so that they're not too big to fail. We need to break them up, make them smaller, and then make sure that they can't go and put themselves back together the way that Ma Bell did. You know, we broke up AT&T, you know, a couple decades ago, and it was good. And now, you know, over the years, they worked very hard to get all of that back. And, you know, just knowing what goes on in telecommunications in the United States, man, the fact that, you know, I talked to some of you folks, and you have only one choice for your telephone and internet and your cable. That's madness. That's absolute madness. At least here in Australia, I can switch to any company I want down the same telephone line, you know, just got to pay the fees to turn it on. If I was forced to be with one telecommunications outfit, that would just be horrible. I mean, you know, I just imagine what it would be like if I had to go with Telstra or Optus in this country. I probably wouldn't be able to broadcast. The service is so damn bad. You know, thankfully I have choice, and I'm with this outfit called iiNet, who does a pretty damn good job and a pretty solid connection all the time. And you know, this is how screwed up the place we lived in was. I had this fancy schmancy ADSL to DSLAM connection that should have had a capacity of up to 24 megabits per second. I never got that because the cable in the ground just couldn't get it to me. The provider was getting it to the to the closest point, had my own exchange, the whole bit, these D-Slam Hoogee-Wutzes that run ADSL2. Well, where we live now, that infrastructure isn't in place. So I had to go with a standard ADSL1 connection. But I think because the system here isn't so oversubscribed, my bandwidth here on what is supposed to be one-third the connection seems to be better than the connection I had at the other place, which should have been three times as fat. I was a bit worried about broadcasting and being able to take calls, but obviously it's not a problem. Bob came back and said that the audio is great. I dealt with the little problem of having it on the other machine, and it's rocking. So cheers, IINet, you guys doing it again and doing fine again. And, you know, they had this connection turned on in 3 days. Can't complain. So, you know, any of the Australian listeners out there, if you want to know who to go with the internet, in my mind, it's IINet. But anyway, there's my corporate plug for the day. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go and take a little bit of a breaky-poo. And we'll come back for hour three, and then I expect to get a phone call from David from Maine. And pretty soon, because I do have a feeling he wants to talk about Nine Inch Nails and whatever else he's got going. So we're gonna. Here we go. Here's another track on the moving out vibe. Bit of Billy Joel. Anthony's song. You listen to Foxed Up. We'll be back right after this on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Thank you. We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for Hour 3, the final hour. If you want to get in on the conversation, give us a ring, 304-574-7811. It's 304-574-7811. Or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. It is so good to be back on the intertubes. Just because, you know, I've been missing you guys. And it's great crowd in the chat room. So glad you guys are here, you know. It was a bit hard, you know, sitting there listening to Bob having all these great conversations and not being able to have my own. But, you know, I know when David rings in, which hopefully will be sometime shortly, he'll probably want to talk about the new Nine Inch Nails album. And see, old Trent Reznor is breaking the mold and releasing everything online. And I got an email last night from Trent in the system saying, "Hey, new music, buddy, go and get it." And I haven't even had a chance to unzip the package yet. And you know, I dig what he does, too. It's not just, you know, some downgraded MP3. You can get it in a high-quality MP3. You can get it in FLAC lossless. And you can even go and download the full wave version of it. You know, because Trent works really hard on his music, and I'm really curious to listen to this. Because my good mate Scott Barry, Mr. B1 Louder himself, was just telling me about a week or so ago that and I guess he must have gotten some of this stuff early, that this new Nine Inch Nails is just amazing. He's got a new, really young band, a whole bunch of young guys who, and it's going to be very little playback in the show. It's going to be like live four-man rock band just pounding it out. And the reason why I get these little tidbits of information about Nine Inch Nails is because Scott's their monitor guy of choice when they come to Australia. And he's just, you know, and he's a bit of a Nine Inch Nails fan. You know, he digs Trent for what he does, because what Trent does is honest. It's real. And man, he works hard. You know, he works really, really hard. And he proved how the label system is so screwed. I told this story before. I'll tell it again. You know, when he toured here last year, he went into a music store and saw, you know, the Avril Lavigne CD in the store, you know, $10 cheaper than his own record. So he rings up the label, and the label says, you know, he's like, now why the hell is this? And I said, well, your audience is dedicated. They'll pay it. So when he came back a few months later and played at the same venue, probably to the same exact audience, he asked, has the price of my album come down yet? And they all went, no. And he just said, steal it. This is what they think of you. This is what the modern record label thinks of you. You're dedicated, so they're going to screw you. And they'll discount the shit. And so more power to Trent Reznor. I mean, he helps to develop new talent, which is a great thing. You know, Mr. Saul Williams, who we dig so much. It seems like David must have walked away from the computer. So if anybody else wants to get in on it, ring in 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. And, you know, love to talk to more folks. Again, thanks to Ben Birch for sending me, the debunking article on what I was ranting about. But we will still continue to keep a close eye on what is going on with this legislation. Cause I hope that we completely got sucked in, maybe, you know, and I'll be the one to admit if we got it wrong, and maybe we did. Like I said, here we go. We have a call. Who we got?
Yeah, this is Sarge.
Hey, Sarge, how are you, mate?
Hey, I hope this works better than last time. Last time I called you, I lost you in the middle of the conversation, and my phone was down for about a month. So,
oh, no.
It turned up my battery had gone out, and at the same time my charger went out. And I have this Cricket account, and their products are just unbelievably inept. But anyway, I got it fixed, so I'm able to get back on.
Right on,
but
mate.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, if I can get my dog to quit barking here, is the education thing. Now, I don't know how bad it is in other states, but here in Arizona, we have just suffered some of the most major budget cuts, which takes effect at the beginning of next fiscal year than ever in the history of the state. And child care is just totally gone. Teachers are going to be laid off. Of course, administrators, some of them will lose their job. But there's such a hierarchy of administrators. And believe it or not, to me this is really hard to believe, but Arizona has now fallen below Mississippi in the last place, which I'm from Mississippi and grew up there, and we were always the bottom in education. But these people out here, now this is a Republican-controlled state.
Right.
Now have fallen below Mississippi, and it's going to take some climbing to get back up to Mississippi's level, if you can imagine.
Well, this is, now, you know, you're saying budget cuts and all that. Is this due to the, well, partially due to the state budget being stressed for cash? And are,
well, I tell you what, it, that's a portion of it. But the real thing in the investigations that I have done into it, it turns out that Janet Napolitano protected education out here. And they have this group called the Gang of 11 Republicans who are determined to screw education to get back at Napolitano. So it's a good bit of it is politically motivated.
Now, see, that's really, really crap, man, to make political moves that end up affecting the next generation. And this could also be spitting at Barack Obama with his push for really, really wanting to bring education as an investment in America's future, which it is. If you don't have an educated populace, the United States, for all of its chest beating and all that, the biggest, the baddest, the smartest, the bravest, it's really a bunch of crap. You know, when it comes to math and sciences, the United States has completely fallen off. I'm so glad that Obama, reversed the decision on embryonic stem cell research because of what was going on there, most of, like, the new cancer breakthroughs that you were hearing about over the last few years have been coming out of, Australia, this country of, like, less than 25 million people. Now, granted, our cancer council here in New South Wales is very, very well run, and they are able to fund a lot of their research because they own the patent on the cervical cancer vaccine, so all the profit from the vaccine goes straight back into more research. It's not going to a pharmaceutical company. The pharmaceutical companies are given the rights to produce the vaccine, but they're not able to just gouge profits for themselves. In the way that the United States used to be, where, the universities and whatnot came up with the developments that were for the common good.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, now at Arizona State University, the research department has been so dramatically affected that Arizona State's president has come out and said, hey, this is actually going to hurt our academic standards, and it's going to really make major damage to our research programs. And of course, we've got this little thug Republican governor named Jan Brewer that took the place of Napolitano, and she said, well, you know what, I don't care.
And there are people in the United States in government, and people, and we have it here in Australia as well, where you really have to wonder whether these people actually are, patriotic at all with their actions. They,
really?
It just seems like they want to, unless their ideology goes forward, they'd rather see their country fail and hang up what could be good moves by the people in power just to score points. And, I watch, you guys don't get to see it. But I'm watching what the opposition here in Australia is doing to Kevin Rudd. And it's virtually the same thing that is going on in the United States. It's like, there is a global conservative action plan that they all play the same games and all just play obstructionist bullshit. I mean, we just had, to give you an example, something that I disagreed with when it was first done. The Rudd government put in this thing called an Alco-Pops tax. And basically, it was a high tax on those pre-mixed alcoholic drinks that are marketed to basically young people. The really sweet vodka drinks and things like that that you buy in 4-packs and 6-packs. And the idea was, we have a lot of problems with youth binge drinking. And so the idea was, we're going to tax these beverages that are obviously being marketed to the youth and tax them really high. And when I first heard this, I was like, oh man, this just sounds like, playing up to the nanny state people. But
more bullshit.
But I was proven wrong because I didn't think it would have any effect. Well, after 6 months of doing it, or I think it was 6 months of doing it, it had to come for a final vote on whether they were going to keep doing this. Now, the federal government got a bit of a boon in tax income on this. However, over the 6 months, the purchases of these drinks dropped huge. Now, the concern was, you make these things expensive, kids will go and buy, you know, big bottles of hard liquor. Well, the statistics showed that, yeah, there might have been a bit of an uptick, but it was nothing to show that it was a one-for-one, you know, kind of change from one to the other. It actually seemed to have had, against my own original opinion, the right effect. So, now, when they go to vote on this thing for the long term, the opposition and this one guy, this one senator from a party called Family First, gets up and turns it into all that it's a tax boondoggle, and he holds up and ends up defeating the thing in the long run when the biggest drug abuse and alcohol abuse organizations in Australia said, you know what, this thing worked. This actually worked. And this guy would rather play games to try and shut it down for some sort of weird political points when it actually had the effect that this Family First guy and his party supposedly stand on. And this guy got called out for it, but yet he was able to hold up our Senate for days on this. Because, and the government was, you know, I mean, and I just sat there like banging my head. It was just like, oh my God, you know, the fundamentalist right-wing religious nut job is actually going to get in the way of higher taxes on a sin in their mind. Where does this logic come from?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Monique and I, on the way in this morning for me to do my show, we were driving along the road, and this guy was driving well above the speed limit, and he had this faded American flag on the back of his truck that was so high up you couldn't see over it. You couldn't see under it, and the only thing you could see was him, and he cut in front of us, almost ran into us, and we went behind him, stayed behind him, and he turned in and he went to this humongous super church, you know, and I told Monique, I said, look at that. There's one of your Christians speeding, darting in front of everybody, about to run over whoever's in his way, and now he's fixing to go and sing, oh, how I love Jesus.
Jeebus is my co-pilot.
Hey, I like the old sign, well, if Jesus is your co-pilot, why don't you let him get out and ride with me? He's safer.
I can't remember if this was Bob that mentioned it or where I heard this last week. There was some guy that, you know, murdered his wife in the last week or two, and when he was picked up, he was wearing a shirt that said, I love my marriage. And it's a shirt that was the biggest selling shirt in fundamentalist circles about, you know, can't let the guys get married now, can we? Because that'll be a threat to our marriage. Sounds like the guy was a threat to his own marriage.
Yeah, the sanctity of marriage. You know, first of all, the sanctity would be don't beat your wife. You know, but the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't know how, but there's a trend here that's been going on for some time, and I do it when I go to pay my cricket bill. I understand people do it when they have their mortgages. Insurance companies are now doing it, but they charge you a fee to pay your bill if you use a credit card or you phone in your payment. There's a $2 or $3 charge for paying your bill, by the way.
Well,
but what they want you to do is to set up a bank draft.
Right.
And I've heard stories of how people have done this and gotten screwed on their bank draft because they sent it in a little early before their check had come in and stuff. And, you know, when I told Cricket about this, I said, look, I come into your store to pay my bill, and you charge me $3. I call in, you charge me $2. I pay it on the Internet, you charge me $2. Now, you know, I was in business for a number of years, and that always came in under overhead. And the woman said, well, you know what? She said, oh, I have to pay it when I go to pay my mortgage or I pay my insurance. So what's your gripe?
Well, why aren't you pissed off then?
Yeah. I just, you know, and that's the mentality now. You know, these companies are ripping us off. This is why they're in business. That's called overhead. That's part of what they're supposed to make up in the product or service that they're providing.
And one of the things, because we have had some of that down here some screaming and yelling going on with it. And one of the things that's changed, and this comes again to the deregulation of the banking system over the past, you know, few decades, because I used to work in retail during high school for the next few years before I really got into production. I worked in retail. And when, you know, someone would pay with a credit card or their F-post or whatever, when you process the payment, there was this fraction of a percent of the sale that would be charged to the merchant for processing the payment. But it was really small. And then if it would have a limit. So like, you know, if it was, you know, 0.2% or 0.0001% or whatever, and it would hit a certain maximum dollar level, it wouldn't go any higher. And so then, you know, that, like you said, it was overhead. Now, one of the things that I know from here is the merchants are now getting banged for $2, $3, $4, $5 per transaction, regardless of the size of the transaction. And so you can see where, you know, local merchants, stores suddenly say, look, you want to pay this way. They're hitting us so hard that it's making, you know, your $10 charge to your bank card not worth the sale for us because the bank is hitting us so bad. And so I think that this comes around what you're dealing with there, again, is the deregulation of the banking industry where they're allowed to do whatever the hell they want to the detriment of not just consumers but merchants.
Right?
Right?
Well, I tell you what, you heard what Monique was talking about earlier about her Desert Schools account.
That's mad.
Desert Schools Credit Union. Well, now, I'll tell you something else on that story. This was rather interesting. She's had a money market account there for years. I mean, decades. And so she finds a $15 fee on her account. And the $15 fee was because she had fallen below the minimum amount required. Of course, the catch of this is they never, ever told her that there was any minimum. And they charged her for it without her even knowing there was a minimum.
This again, comes down to that same lack of regulation, lack of oversight, and allowing these institutions to just do whatever the hell they please. And I do hope that, you know, with things like wanting to reinstate the uptick rule, which stops all this short selling crap, which is where, you know, so much of the problem with the banking system came in. And, you know, hopefully that's going to extend down into better regulation. And I really do hope that they break up these big banks. I think it's just insane.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I it's absolute madness that we are tied to so few choices that there is no competition. You know, the free marketers are such bullshit artists as far as I'm concerned, Sarge, because they're going, oh, you want to limit competition by making sure they don't get too big. It's like, actually, when you get too big, that limits competition.
That destroys competition. And, you know, it's just out of hand. You know, it's like Cox Communications here in Phoenix, which is a part of a charter or some big group that sponsors right-wing radio, but they screw around with you. Sometimes you'll lose your connections, they'll slow you down, you try to pay your bill online and the thing won't work, and, you know, they're just really, really inefficient. And, you call them and you say, hey, what's the problem here? They'll try and BS you some, and then finally they'll say, well, I'll tell you what, you got your choice. You can go with us, or you can't get it at all because they've got parts of the area broke down to where Quest has part of it, Cox has part of it, and you can't get the other service. And that's what you're faced with. You know, they say, hey, you don't like it? You can't get Quest here. So, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that how we end up with these localized monopolies, like in the States, the localized monopolies over communications is just, it really blows my mind. The fact that I actually have a far wider choice of possibilities here in Australia. I mean, it's a small country, man. You know, I mean, yeah, we take up a lot of space, but as far as population, and I mean, we do punch, you know, higher than our weight class, you know, for the size of a country that we are. But, you know, I think it's just incredible the fact that, you know, like, you know, it was only for ages, you know, Bob could only get Comcast. But, you know, due to this little loophole.
Comcast is the one that Cox is with, by the way. That's Cox, too.
And due to this little loophole, the guy who started CityNet got his foot in the door. But yet, you're still on Comcast's line. So if the actual line goes screwball, then you still have to deal with Comcast. But at least Bob had the opportunity to be able to go with CityNet, who's done really, really well for us. I mean, that, you know, and this just shows you get competition in there. You get someone smaller who wants to actually provide the service. Everyone's in business to make money. I don't have actually a problem. Go ahead.
We as consumers have got to stand up to these people. I don't know how. I'll be the first to say I wish I knew the answer. But we've got to somehow stand up to these people and stop it. I don't know. I don't know how, but we've got to. And on that note, John, I'm going to let you go because there's other people probably want to call in. And it's so good to have you back on. Our Sunday nights have been miserable without you.
Well, thanks, man. I've missed you guys as well, and this has just been so much fun to do this. So we'll
talk. We're gonna have to get you back on my show too, buddy.
Yeah, man. And it's gonna be easier once we in 2 weeks we do our clock switch, and it ends up not being quite so insane for me. And so.
Well, we don't change time here in Arizona, and it really screws up. We didn't tune in until the second hour because we forgot about the time change, because we don't change.
Ah, dope.
And so we missed the first hour of your show.
That's all right, man. That's all right. And so, it gets very confusing. I forgot Arizona and Queensland share that same thing where they actually don't do the daylight savings change. But anyway, man, always really good to talk.
Yeah, I like it better. Just forget it.
Yeah. And thanks for bringing in, man. And coffeewithsarge.com, right?
That's it.
All right.
You.
Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, with that, folks, we're going to take a little bit of a break here and play a little music. I need something to drink. And we'll come back and, you know, more phone calls. The more the merrier. You listen to Fox Up on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be right back. A little bit of Soundgarden for you. Never get tired of this song.
know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Back to Foxed Up. We're in the last half hour of things, and we're going to go straight back to the phones. Hey, who we got?
You got me.
Hey, David, how are you, man?
What's up, man? You know, you're psychic, because I did want to talk about Chris Cornell and the bashing that he's getting on this album, which I think is a pretty impressive album. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of people don't understand it is because they don't realize that Chris Cornell was always into R&B and soul, and I guess hip-hop to a degree, and they feel like it's a kind of betrayal. And I think at the same time, John, this is really going to cut a lot of people up who are Soundgarden fans at the same time. He has mortgages, and he has kids, and he's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
And he's got to pay the bills.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, he was originally the Soundgarden drummer.
Mm.
And he was a singing drummer, and they decided to free him up and, you know, ended up actually allowing him to be a full-time vocalist. And a lot of people, I actually haven't heard the new record yet, and this is a failing on my part. It's one of those, I think I have it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But,
well, you know what? If you go to his MySpace, I think this is cool. Chris Cornell actually lets everyone hear it on his MySpace page.
Right.
So if you go to his MySpace page, you can just listen to the whole thing right there.
Well, and a lot of people bagged Euphoria Morning, and I love it. I love that record. There was definitely a bit of that. It was a bit frenetic, you know, from track to track a little bit, but that made sense. It was stuff that he was, you know, had written here and there, and, you know, it was a guy who was in a band and now going to go and do this solo thing and, you know, finding his way. And this was the material he had at the time. I think Euphoria Morning is one of the nicest records in general. You know, I love it. And, you know, Gail loves it. And, you know, and it's funny, because of that, she actually likes Soundgarden more because of what she got to know about Chris through Euphoria Morning.
Mm. Well, you know, I think the reason why a lot of people don't are hitting on this record is because to me, and to studying Timbaland to a degree that I have, he balances street cred, artist cred, and a radio format, and that really irks a lot of people that he can do that. Because if you look on a Bjork album and listen to what Bjork has to say about it, you listen to the radio programmers, that's a rare thing. They have a lot to say about Timbaland. You know, and when he crossed over to the rock and pop, you know, when he started first with Justin Timberlake, first people were accepting that. Then he went with Nelly Furtado. Okay, people were still cool with that because it was the dance pop. Then when he went with One Republic, people started questioning him like, oh, you're going after White Axe now?
Oh, man. You know, I really hate when people get so locked into what they think they're supposed to like. You know, I did this when I was a kid. You know, I was a metalhead.
Yeah.
I was a metalhead, and I did fusion and jazz as well because it was anti what everybody else did. And at the time, as an up-and-coming drummer, it was actually hard rock and jazz and fusion that was technically challenging. So you looked for music like that, and I rejected a lot of things that I've come to love later once I started to open up my frickin' ears.
Right, right. And like I said, I think the record, you're gonna see an arc of records with Timbaland. This will not, you can already tell, this is not going to be the last record. I don't know how well it's doing, but it's probably going to be a slow sale because a lot of people, there's that bias toward two people coming from two sides of the spectrum. And unfortunately, Timbaland is not Rick Rubin. You can't exactly do that with someone like Chris Cornell because of how rabid the fan base is with Soundgarden and Audioslave.
And you know, I mean, Chris Cornell, the reason that he made Soundgarden and Audioslave so awesome is because of that R&B influence. He doesn't sing like a metal singer. He sings...
Right.
He sings with heart and soul, and what I'll tell you, he is one of the trickiest singers to try and emulate, not because of the range or the sound, but the guy has an amazing musical ear for melody, and especially on, like, you listen to the Temple of the Dog stuff, it's
yeah.
where he throws in the accidental notes, the things that are outside the actual key. And they have to be
right.
rhythmically specific, because if you come in early or late with them, it sounds like crap. But he knows where, by ear, by training, by rote, whatever it is, how to pull the melody in and find the holes where he can make it sound bluesier, swingier. I mean, the guy's one of my favorite artists of all time, aside from the fact that I wish I could sing like he does. I mean, I try all the time, and I end up sounding like a dead cat. But
well, maybe you need to drink some Jack Daniels. I don't know. Maybe that will get you that soul rasp. For some people, you know, that's all it takes.
Mm.
I don't know.
I think it was just too much Beatles early on in my education.
So what was the thing you wanted to mention about Trent Reznor, since we're on the subject of that? And I got
an email last night that there's a new album of material, which I've downloaded and haven't had a chance to actually even unzip it yet. And Scott Barry, my mate, who does monitors for NIN when they're here, was telling me a couple weeks ago that this album is a motherfucker. And that he's got this whole brand new, fresh, young band, and that this tour, because I guess, you know, he's getting early, you know, information on what the lineup's going to be like so he can kind of get his head around what's going to happen, technically, that it's straight-up rock show. Very little playback, you know, I mean, because he does lots of production stuff, so, you know, there's always going to be some track and whatnot to, you know,
right.
that's just part of modern music, and he kind of was one of the first to actually do that. In fact, have I ever told you about his first national tour, the big crash that he had?
I don't think you have.
Oh, man. When I was working at this place called The Showcase in San Antonio, And this happened just before I started working there. And Nine Inch Nails was getting ready to come down, and about 2 days before, they had to can the whole rest of the tour, and here's what happened. At that time, this is pre-digital, all of the backing track was on an 8-track Tascam machine. He had no backups. In Dallas, the tapes got eaten by the machine, and he had to go and recreate from scratch everything on that first record to go back out on the road. But
that's brutal right there.
Yeah, and I mean and when he came back, you know, not only were there backups, but there was 3 separate backup machine systems synced together coming into the monitor mix so that if one crapped out, the next one was synced right to it, and if that one didn't work, they just had to swap to the next one. If that one didn't work, they had the fourth one.
Yeah, I think the record, I'm not sure, because the record you're talking about, I believe, I'm getting mixed signals, because the record I saw that was for download was called Ninja.
Yeah, that's what I got here.
But isn't it just a sampler, or it's reworked material? I guess I haven't got the clear definition of it.
I haven't had a chance to listen, but like I said before, I got the email last night. Scott was saying this, what he's got coming. If this isn't it, then it's on its way. But what? Mm-hmm. But the new band is a young 4-piece rock band. And, you know, I'm starting to get this impression that he might be becoming similar to the way, you know, the guy's my age, you know, a little bit older, you know, he's not a young guy anymore, but he continues to produce. Is he going to end up doing very similar to Ozzy Osbourne did, where he's constantly creating a band to be a vehicle to show new musical talent for them to get their chops and then let them go on their way, you know, the way Ozzy did with countless players throughout the 80s and 90s and still does to this day, whether you think Ozzy's a joke or not. I still think he's a legend, you know, and I still think he's one of the greatest lyricists in rock history. But, you know, and of course, you know, he's drug fucked and all that now, but I mean, he's an old man, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I give him some slack, but the one thing that he always that he did through that solo career was always be kind of the elder statesman in a way. And you know, he brought us the Jakey Lees, and he brought us the Rudy Sarzos, and he brought us the Zach Wilds, and you know, and just constantly
in the Rhodes, yeah.
Well, Randy Rhodes, I mean, and I think it was the loss of Randy that probably propelled him into that bit of revolving door stuff that he might not have done as quickly, maybe, you know, because, I mean, we all know that Randy's death, you know, decimated him.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, every time someone bashes Ozzy, and I just sit there and go, if you actually even understood anything about that guy and how they waited, you know, over a decade to release that one live recording of Randy Rhoads because Ozzy did not want Dolores Rhoads, Randy's mother, to think that he was trying to profit in any way off of Randy's demise, and it was actually because of the prompting of Dolores Rhoads that they actually released it.
Mm. The other music news I wanted to mention was the fact that Prince is going to do 3 nights on Leno next week, and what's really interesting about the fact is next week he's actually going to do, get this, John, he's going to be with 3 different bands in one night. So he has a lineup of 3 different bands that he's picked from the selection of musicians that he's had over the years. So he's different drummers, different bassists, and I don't know how he's going to get to the gig in time, but I guess they have that all worked out. And supposedly his website is supposed to be next to the next level of technology regarding his music and promotion, and what he has up so far is pretty impressive. I forget the designer who he's working with. I think his name is Clay, Scott Clay or something like that. And yeah, it looks to be pretty impressive. It's too bad that a lot of the material is getting panned. It looks like he really wants to rehash his image and his sound, and I don't know. He doesn't seem to be. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about Prince as a musician. To me, he seems more of a marketer and a brander than a serious recording artist in terms of music and what he can do.
Yeah, he does confuse me. There are things that he's done that I absolutely think are absolute brilliance. You know, and there are musicians here that I've worked with, like the guys that used to back Campbell, who were also the guys that backed Human Nature and are kind of the hired guns of this country. They
right.
worship what he does, and when he tours here, like, they do not take gigs and will buy tickets to every single show, you know, I have a lot of respect for him because I think he does take risks, or used to. I'm kind of with you that I later on in his career he's really kind of lost me, but not everybody's gonna like everything everybody does all the time. So you know, I mean, he has been really good for rewriting the legalities of artists and labels. You know, the guy's mm-hmm. been of huge value to music itself over the years. I mean, you know, everybody knows, you know, Purple Rain, but he didn't make
right.
squat on that, and that ended up, you know, he went, Warners, you guys are fucked, and I will never, ever, ever be in this situation again. So,
actually, you know, the story behind on Purple Rain is even more intriguing. This makes you see why a lot of people don't really, once they cross paths with him after a while, they don't want to really get to know him personally. Because the fact that Wendy and Lisa, not a lot of people know this, but the fact that they haven't got any royalties from Purple Rain, and they helped make that record 100%. So.
Well, yeah, and who was the guitar player on 1999, that, you know, when he decided he wanted to leave the band, he had to sign this whole get out clause to the paperwork where he couldn't even mention Prince's name in the media.
Right.
Couldn't talk about anything. You know, he is a bit of he is an odd cat. I am not denying that. Seriously
heavy into the Jehovah Witness stuff, though. It's beyond a different level. Like his brain is really warped in the sense of like when they were quoting him about gay people. He really went off the handle and say some parts don't fit, and then he got really mad when the author of the journalist printed that in the paper, and he said he started pretending like he wrote this kind of like pseudo response back, and they kind of like they kind of quoted him saying he didn't say that, but you know they have him on tapes pretty much saying it. You know, to me that's another thing that I really think is kind of a shame when artists get imprisoned by whatever brand of fundamentalist religion.
Yeah, it just starts limiting you, you know, and you know there were even, you know, during the late 80s when the Christian rock thing first started to happen.
Right.
There were some talented players in a couple of those bands, but when you have to limit what you write lyrically about to just this thing, it's going to end up, no matter how hard you work at it, it's going to end up ringing really, really hollow for most people after a really short time. If you can't go outside of the dogma, which doesn't allow you to actually honestly talk about maybe conflict or problems or, you know, when you fell over, you know, because when you fall over, you okay, if you found God and God saved your butt, that's great. Mm-hmm. But you're not actually allowed to talk about, you know, you end up being self-censoring. And music's never helped when people are censored or self-censor.
You know, speaking of that, there's a great interview with on Ring of Fire with that evangelical guy on you guys were talking about on the horn. who's decided to come out and speak about.
I saw him on who's that guy on CNN who had Michael Steele and Chuck D on, where they had.
Oh yeah, D.L. Hughley.
Yeah, D.L. man, he had that guy. I know who you're talking about. He had that guy on, and what he had to say about the Christian right and the deal that they made with the Republicans, and the fact that he said, you know, all this gay bashing, don't want any of it. You know, this is all just insane. I'm digging that guy. I really, you know, and I think he is what I think that a lot of that community is saying. Hey, you know, if we're supposed to be all about the, you know, the Prince of Peace, going out and damning portions of the population doesn't actually play to that.
One last thing before I go, because I know you're running out of time.
No worries.
And you want to close out the show properly, so I'm going to give you time to do that.
Thanks, man.
I really have to recommend a movie to the Horn audience. So everybody get your pencil and write it down. And John, you'll like it too. It's the life story of Genghis Khan, Mongol.
Oh.
It's amazing because here's the amazing thing about this movie. It's a retelling of the life of Genghis Khan from the sacred Mongolian texts.
Mm.
So this is his life according to the Mongolian texts, not according to Western, Arab, or Russian, because of the racism and prejudice toward Mongolians. So it's really interesting to see it, and you begin to see the fact, oh, that's why he's this way, and this is insane right here. And it's a really, I mean, it's the first part in the trilogy. I don't know when the second movie is coming, but it's a really good 2 hours to watch and see the life of Genghis Khan. You begin to realize
what made him what he was.
How warriors are made, how warriors are forged, kind of thing.
Right, so it's called Mongol.
Mongol, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll send you a link so you can check out the trailer and other things. That's a code word in case you people don't know anything, because I'm not going to say what it means, but I think you can figure it out. The trailer. I'm going to send you the trailer. Okay. So anyways,
all right, man.
Check out Mongol. I'll send you the link so you can listen to the Chris Cornell album and give me your feedback on it.
Yeah, I really want to hear that, because I really do dig what that guy does.
And one last thing, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear you back. I don't think we've talked for about like a month or so.
Oh, easy. I haven't been on air for 5 weeks.
Yeah. 5 weeks. So, you know, it's kind of like going back to that nonlinear style. I'll try to call in next week.
Yep.
And hopefully you will be on.
I will be on, man. I will be on. I will be on. No more chaos.
Well,
I'm not having to find a place to live now. It's all
yeah,
good, man.
Yeah. I understand. As always, it's been a pleasure, and keep on rocking. And oh yeah, one last thing.
Quick,
I didn't mention it, but the Neil Young, there's a Neil Young documentary coming out about his alternative energy company.
Yeah, you mentioned this last time we talked, and we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I got to run. I got 2 minutes to close out.
So, all right, later.
Take care, David. Thanks a lot, man. David from Maine, our really really good buddy, who always brings great stuff to the conversation. And it's that time. My word. It's already, like, all over. I can't believe it. This is crazy. Anyway, folks, this has been Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. Big thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions for the music. Thanks to ELO and Gene, the News Ninja, also news producer of this show. For everything that he did in the posting. Check out, there's links for what we talked about today and heaps more over at the show blog. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
out of sight. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right? Put up the fence to keep me out, or to keep Mother Nature in. If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner."
Membership card to get inside.